Finally, we go back to the same passage we've been looking at for the last several weeks, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And we read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And this is God's word. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking about week by week at the various pieces of the armor. And we're coming tonight to verse 18 about prayer. How important is prayer for us? It's vital. We can have no victory over Satan or the demons except by a tremendous commitment to prayer. This does not negate the value of the armor. Prayer is not part of the armor, but it works in concert with the spiritual armor that we have, and it brings the armor alive. It gives life to the armor. If we don't pray, we're not protected as well as we should be, even if we want to put on the rest of the armor. As we think of it, it's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the willingness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. They all need to be put on with prayer. Prayer in the Spirit is the very air we are supposed to be breathing. When whales swim underwater, they can swim a long time between breaths, but every so often they have to come up to take a breath because they are mammals. If they didn't, they would die. For us, we don't have to think about breathing, doing inhale, exhale. We don't have to tell ourselves that. Prayer doesn't come as naturally to us. We have a lot of opposition to prayer. For Christians not to pray, it's like holding our breath spiritually, and our spirit and our soul will wither. I'm not saying it's going to die because our spirit doesn't die, but it will wither and have no life. To live a life of faith, to live the life of Jesus, to put on the full armor and to wage war against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, we have to breathe the air of prayer. Prayer is the atmosphere in which all living and all waging a war occurs, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. When Jesus walked this earth, he taught a lot about prayer, knowing how important prayer is. He knows when the battle gets hot, we can faint. We can grow weary. We can get weak. We can abandon the fight unless we pray. So pray. And it's not just a few pious words to make us sound good. I mean, pray. Two alternatives, we pray or we faint. Those are the two alternatives for us. Prayer is vital. The book of Ephesians catalogs a lot of the resources we have in Jesus, and it's a very interesting book to read. There's a key phrase. It varies a little, but it says, in Christ Jesus, in Him. That appears 26 times in the book. So it's a very important phrase. Paul begins this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Not some, every. And then he takes six chapters to enumerate those blessings. And the blessings, part of it is prayer, and part of it is the spiritual armor that we have. With all these blessings, we may say, well, then do I really need to pray? And the answer is yes, of course. Unless we pray, we will never really know all the riches that God has for us. and they can never fully, truly be implemented in our lives. Now, we can know all about the armor of God. I could do a study and teach about every piece of the armor, and that's good. But it doesn't do us any good, that knowledge, unless we put on the armor and get into the battle and stand firm. It's all undergirded with prayer, praying in the Spirit, the kind of passionate and earnest prayer that God calls us to doesn't come naturally. We have to say, I need to stop and pray. Sometimes we can seem to get so busy, we shut the prayer life off. No, drop some of the busyness and pray. But I know how easy it is to get so busy. The armor of God isn't mechanical and it's not magical. God needs to infuse that armor with his power and his energy. And the only way we tap into it is through prayer. A latent danger for us, though. We can know a lot of knowledge of Scripture. We can be praying. We can have some success in winning people for God. And then we begin to be satisfied. And we don't pray the way we should. And we let our guard down. That's a lie of Satan that we can rest. And another type of prayer, and I can't remember the musical group, they had one called The Shopping List. Give me this, give me that, Lord, bless me. And it's all about me. That too is from Satan, because we're not praying for the people around us. We're being selfish. And that doesn't help God's cause at all. Verse 18 in the New American Standard reads slightly different. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, petition for all the saints. Emphasizing the all. We have to put on each piece of armor with prayer. Prayer is to pervade all we say and do. It's to be the encompassing element in our lives, the air that we breathe. Now, how often are we supposed to pray? Once a day? Twice a day? Three, five times? There's no set times, no set posture, no set way. Pray at all times. Luke 21:36. Be always on the watch. Pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Then Acts 6:3-4. And this was when they are bringing in the deacons, and they instituted the deacons. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. That was the feeding of the people. And give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And that one we probably all know by heart, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And one of the shorter verses in the Bible, 1 Thessalians 5:17, pray constantly. Does this mean that we have to be constantly kneeling at the side of our bed doing nothing but prayer? No. It means to have a constant attitude of prayer as we go about our daily life. It has nothing to do with formulas or vain repetitions. What it means is very simply living life with a God consciousness, total communion with God, with Jesus. You see a beautiful sunset. Thank you, God. You come along, you see an accident in the road and the ambulance there. Pray for the people. Things like that. What I call popcorn prayers. When we're tempted, take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you worried, anxious, angry, frustrated, burdened, fearful? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Everything, especially our joys. Say, Lord, thank you. May this joy continue. Be joyful and thankful in everything. We need to see with our eyes and set them on things above. Colossians 3:1-3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Keep our vision above. Jesus saved us. Why did he save us? Not just to save us from the pits of hell. There's another more vital reason, and that's fellowship with him. 1 John 1, first three verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands and have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He saved us so we could have sweet fellowship with him, the kind of fellowship that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. That's the kind of fellowship God wants with us. That is one of the greatest things we can have, is to be in fellowship with God. And if we don't pray, we deny Jesus what he died for, to bring that fellowship. We're saying, no, I don't need you. Prayer isn't telling just God our concerns. It's a dialogue with him. So many people go through their prayer, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, and they take off. You've probably heard of the prayer hand. You know, adoration, confession, petition, thanksgiving, and supplication. Well, those only make about half the hand, don't they? You know what you're right across the palm? Listening. We should spend about half of our time in prayer listening to what God will tell us. Colossians 4:2, it said, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote is an interesting word. Its root word means to be steadfast, to be constant. As used of Moses in Hebrews 11:27, says that he persevered or he endured. Colossians 4, the verb there actually has a prefix to it which intensifies that, almost like a super. That shows us that prayer sometimes isn't easy or selective. We have to push on and we have to push through, persevering and struggling over the deep issues of life. Prayer is a conscious choice in a way of life. And when our hearts are open to God in earnest and persistent prayer, we will be blessed. You know, Jesus told many parables. There's two in Luke that talk about persistence and prayer. One's in Luke 11. Remember the friend at midnight? He has a person come to visit him. He goes to his neighbor door, knocks on the door. Hey, I've got a guy come to visit me. I got nothing to put in front of him. Loan me three loaves of bread. I'm in bed. Don't bother me. Yet he continues knocking and asking, and he gets what he wants. It's because of his boldness, his shamelessness in approaching the neighbor, the audacity of the man. He was shameless in his asking. Do we do that with God? Remember, Jesus here in this parable is arguing from the lesser to the greater. He's not saying God is the neighbor who didn't want to get up. He's saying, how much more will God? The other one is the widow and the unjust judge. The unjust judge who didn't care about men and didn't care about God. The widow kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And finally he said, I'm going to give her a want, lest she wear me out with her coming. The lest me wear me out. You know what it really means? Lest she give me a black eye. I think she was quite persistent. If the unjust judge does that, how much more will our Heavenly Father answer our prayers? In both parables, we see answers to prayer. If we are persistent and faithful in prayer, God will hear and answer. So don't give up. And in Isaiah 62, there is a passage. Verses 6 and 7 say, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. We need to continue steadfast in prayer. And God had promised to make Jerusalem that. And what the principle they can take from that is, don't give up. Take your principle, continue to God. Don't give him rest. Remind him of his promises. And he'll remind us of our part too, which is good. Until the answer comes. And it's got to be God's answer, not the answer I want. I know sometimes when I pray, I think the answer's going to go this way, and it comes way over here. And when I stopped to think about it, this is far superior. So we need to trust God and pray in His way. When we pray in His name, life is to be a constant exercise of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to draw us closer to Jesus, to get His work done on the earth, to have intimate fellowship. In the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." Believe it or not, those are commands. We are commanding God to do what only He can do. He draws us into abiding with the Spirit so the Spirit can energize us. And everything that comes into life provides an opportunity for prayer, to pray with all prayers and requests. The word request means a specific prayer, not a general request. A man one time came from Africa over to the States to study in a seminary. In Africa, he was a solid evangelist when he made people to the Lord. When he came here, he began falling in with the way they did it in the States. He'd say, "Lord, save the heathen." And then one day the Lord stopped and said, "Which heathen do you want me to save?" And he went back to naming the people again, and he began to see success again. We can ask for specific things, but it needs to be for the glory and the honor of God, not for any other reasons. The vital prayer is to know God more. And you know, we can have a lot of knowledge about God, but as we pray, even if we don't have that great knowledge, we'll gain the knowledge of God by experience. And that seems to work more than the book learning. We watch unto prayer. Look what is going on around you and pray specifically. Look at what is happening. Look at God's word and pray God's word. If you don't know what to ask for, say, "Lord, how do I pray here?" Or you can pray the prayer that never fails. And there's one prayer that never fails. "Lord, your will be done." To pray in the name of Jesus is not just to say, "In Jesus' name," at the end of the prayer. It's to pray in accord with the character and the nature of Jesus, because those are the prayers He honors. And that's what, when you say the name of the Lord, is the character and the honor and the glory of God, of Jesus. And that was what we're to pray in, to bring glory to His name. And then God will move and display His glory. To pray in the Spirit, what is that? You know, the Pentecostal and Charismatics will tell you that means praying in tongues. That's included, but that's not all that it is. And tongues is only a small part of it, because not everyone has the gift of tongues. The main focus is to pray as the Holy Spirit leads us, as the Holy Spirit guides us. To pray in concert with the desires of the Spirit of God. To make our prayers consistent with the mind and the will of God Himself. We need to do this. We need to be in constant communion with God through the Spirit, to be Spirit-filled, to neither grieve nor quench the Spirit of God. Then we will bear fruit, and we will be filled with the Spirit. We are in a war. There's a big war going on around us, and a lot of people are not aware of it. And it's getting worse and worse, more and more. Tyndale Seminary is someplace is not welcome anymore to bring, because our thoughts aren't yours. You don't think like us. In the States, there's a movement about by some of them that if people don't agree with them on the homosexual agenda and that, charities will lose their license. It's going that far. So we need to really be praying. In Beachville and other churches I pastored, they take prayer requests on a Sunday morning. And you can get quite a few of them. But you know what most of them are for? Physical healing. Where's the spiritual side? Why don't they say, "You know, so-and-so here over here struggling. Can we pray for that struggle? Or so-and-so needs to know the Lord. Why don't we pray for them?" And I try to include that in the prayer anyway. But it bothers me in many ways that we mostly focus on the physical part and not the spiritual. And the battle's in the spiritual realm. Though it has manifestations, spirit should be our main concern, to focus what is unseen rather than what is seen. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, we read, "Therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inward we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This spiritual battle is not easy, and sometimes we can get caught off guard. We're going along, and all of a sudden, wham, something happens. But we don't have to grieve over it because we're on the Lord's side. You know, people say, well, the Lord's on my side. I don't know about that. Am I on his side? Is much more important. Satan doesn't give up. He doesn't give in. He's nefarious in his attempts, constantly bombarding us in many ways. He did that with Jesus, didn't he? Throughout the whole of Jesus' life. It wasn't just the temptation in the wilderness. We read in Luke 4:13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So that battle is constantly there. In this battle, we're to pray. We're to pray for other people, neighbors, missionaries, nation of Israel, our politicians, Canada, church, our church leaders, spiritual leaders, the enemy. And as a pastor friend of mine one time said, when you get people that really upset you, look at them as grace builders. But sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Do the necessary battle, looking beyond the surface to the deeper issues, waiting on the Lord. Put on the whole armor and pray. Pray continuously, courageously, and fearlessly in the Spirit of God. Do the battle, and the battles will be won. The war itself will be won. It's a very powerful battle that's going on at the very present moment. And our very life depends on fighting the battle. Pray shamelessly and fearlessly with great importunity and perseverance, praying in the name of Jesus, praying in the Spirit. We put on the full armor through prayer. We're equipped for the spiritual challenges through prayer. There's a hymn that we can often probably sing, and I believe it's the third verse. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. The secret to endure and to fight the battle, to persevere in worshiping and in conducting ourselves well in gospel, is in and through prayer. God's strength becomes our strength as we pray. So let's put on the full armor of God, the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the armor, every last little bit, and put it on with prayer. In Jesus and in the Spirit, with the full armor on and in prayer, we will win the battle. Amen. Almighty God, rule us. Keep your church strong. Destroy the devil's work in his kingdom. Help us to obey you, Lord, rather than our own weak flesh. Uphold us and make us strong so that we may never be defeated in our weakness and, Father, by the temptations of the world and the devil. Draw close to us, Lord, and energize that armor as we wear it for your glory. And help us to stand firm in your name. Amen.